It's very nice to be here. And what we're going to do is two things. The first half of it, really probably a third to half of it, is going to be halacha. And the second half is going to be machshava. All of it's going to be about the days we're in right now, the days of Sfiras HaOmer. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, so there's kind of two ways to look at Sfiras HaOmer, just broadly. One is as a happy time, in a certain sense. The Ramban actually discusses and refers to Sfiras HaOmer kind of like as a chalamoid between Pesach and Shavuos. And we have that time from when we bring the Korban HaOmer up until we bring the Shtei Halechem on Shavuos. But then the other way to look at Sfiras HaOmer is about the students of Rabbi Akiva who passed away during this time and the avelis that we go through and the fact that we don't get haircuts, we don't go to weddings, and other minhagim that have emerged from that. What I want to discuss and what I want to learn with you together tonight is a lesson that comes out of Sfiras HaOmer. Literally, sometimes it's like such an obvious lesson that sometimes actually glossed over and it's not even focused on, which is just about consistency. And it's about the fact that we count one more day every single day. And when it comes to Judaism is about being able to be consistent in a person's avos Hashem. And there's so many important things, and when it comes to a person wanting to excel in avodas Hashem, that really stem to consistency. Sometimes certain things actually could seem a little stale, right? If you do something every single day, it's not as special. There is a mitzvah of a bracha of a birkas hachama, a bracha you say on the sun, which I believe we say every 28 years. Now, you don't remember the last time you said it, because last time we said it was approximately 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. And so I remember where I was when I said it. It's when you know that there's a bracha every 28 years, like you know where you are at that moment in time. And literally, I remember like the month before Birkat HaChama, there were like tons of shiurim and articles all about Birkat HaChama, right? This moment every 28 years where you could say this bracha on the sun. And yet, there are things that we do every single day that we don't hear anything about, right? When's the last time you went to shiur about lighting Shabbos candles? When's the last time you went to shiur about putting on tefillin? Probably not so recent, right? So sometimes we actually gloss over those things that we do on a daily or weekly basis. But one of the most important things in Judaism is to be consistent, to not have someone to say, you know, I'm going to learn so much, or I'm going to make sure to daven three times a day with the minyan today, and then to not daven at all the next week. And then like, no, today's the day again, right? There's something off about that. And so let's spend the next few minutes now just learning about the halacha, about the consistency related to Sfiras HaOmer. So Sfiras HaOmer comes up in the Torah in Parshas Emor, which we're going to be learning in a few weeks. In the first source, in Parakaf Gimel, Pasuk Tefav, it says, Usvartam lachem mimacharas ha-shabbas. You should count from the day after. Here the Torah says Shabbos. Chazal learned out that when it says Shabbos, it's actually referring to Pesach, from the first day of Pesach. You should count from the day after the first day of Pesach. Miyom havyachem et omer ha-tnufa. From the day you bring the Korban Omer, Sheva Shabbatos Timos Tiyana. You should count 7 full weeks. Until when? Says the Torah, continues the next Pasuk, Ad b'macharas ha-shavas ha-shviyis tisperu chamishim yom. Until the 7th week, when you will count the 50 days, v'kraft ha-mincha chadash al-Hashem. You should bring a new mincha offering to Hashem. So those are the psukim in the Torah about counting Sfiras HaOmer. Now, we don't have the laws and the details about how to count, exactly when to count. All we have is, meaning count 50 days from the day after the first day of Pesach. So the Gemara, Maseches Menachos on Daf, Samach Vav Amud Aleph, says in Source 2, Miyom Havyachem Tisperu, shall count. Yachol, you might think, Yiktor V'yavi, you might think you should just harvest and cut this down and bring the Korban Omer, v'im asai shiyirtzeh yispor. And whenever you want to count, go for it. That's when you should count. It's up to you. Let's count 50 days from when, or how you want to count it. It's up to you. It says it's not the case. Tama lomar, me'achel chermish bakama, techal lispor. From basically when you cut down that wheat to bring the korban omer, that is when you begin your counting. If that's when you begin your counting, you might think, so that's when you cut down and begin the counting, but whenever you want to offer and bring it, you could go and bring it. The Torah says, from the day when you bring it, meaning there is a set day, the set day when you have to bring this korban. If you have, and we learned it's that set day, yachal yiktor v'yispor v'yavi bayom. I might think I could bring it, I could do this during the daytime, meaning as we know, we're going to be davening marv after this, and we're going to be counting at night. So you might think, you know, maybe I could just count in the daytime. Tamalomar, sheva shabbatos mios tiyana. You shall have 7 full weeks. Now when it comes to those words, just as a point on the side, is that Tosfot says that because you want to have 7 full weeks and the day should be full, so you should count, there's a mitzvah to count as early as possible. I mean, from the moment you're able to count, you should count because then the day will be more full of when you count. As opposed to, even though you could count all night, as we'll see, so you could count, there's a difference between counting at 8, 9 o'clock versus counting at 10, 11 o'clock. So the Gemara continues, Emasai tamotze sheva shabasos timimos. When are you going to have it where the days and the weeks are timimos, are full? Bizman shata matcha limanos mi ba'erev. From the time where you begin to count at night. So now let's see the way this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch, there are source sheets around. If you got a source sheet? Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch in the third source says as follows: Bilel Sheni Achar Tfilas Arvis Atchilin Lispar HaOmer. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say of Pesach because it's in Hilchos Pesach, but on the day, the second night of Pesach, after Yidavim Mariv, you begin to count the Omer. V'im Shachach Lispor B'Tchilas HaLayla. And if you forget to count at the beginning of the night, Holech V'Sofer Kol HaLayla. You could go ahead and count all night. Mitzvah kol echa lispor la'atmo. It's a mitzvah on the individual to count, as opposed to their certain times, certain mitzvos, when it comes to like counting Shemitah, Yovel. So those are things upon Beis Din to count. So over here, the mitzvah is on every individual. V'tzarech lispor me'umar. You should count standing up. U'levarech tchila. You should make a bracha first. V'sofer hayame v'yashruos. And you shall count and state the days and the weeks. Ketzar, how do we do this? What's an example of how one should count? V'yom harishon omer, on the first day you will say, hayom yom echad, ra omer, la omer. At shemagia l'shiva yamim, until you get to 7 days, because you don't have any weeks yet to count. V'az yomar, and once you get to the seventh day, then you say, shiva yamim shem shavua echad. I now have 7 days, and these are also shavua echad. This is 1 week. And that's how we count. So all he mentioned, all Shulchan Aruch mentioned is, you say a bracha. But do we say a bracha at any point, whenever we count? And what's the law, what's the din, if we miss? What if we miss the night we remember during the day? I have a confession that last night I did not remember to count. There happens to be, there's a machloka if a person should count after shkia, or if a person should wait till Tzeis HaKochavim. Most years I usually do hold like the opinions and count after shkia. For this year, I wanted to decide to count after Tzeis HaKochavim. And last night, I ended up having a shkia minyan, so I davened mar, but I did not count shkia with the minyan. I said, I'll remember later, and I totally forgot, and I remember this morning. And so we will see what a person should do when you do not remember at night, and you only remember during the day. So the Rambam Mishnah Torah says, V'tzarech levarach b'chol layla. You need to make a bracha. You should make a bracha each night. Baruch atah Hashem l'kinim al-chalam, asher kishan mitzvoysa v'tzivanu al-sfiras ha'omer. Kodem shispor. You say that bracha before you count, right? In general, brachot are made over la'siyatan. The brachos that we do are before we do the action. The Rambam is very, very much into this idea, the fact that you make a bracha before the mitzvah, so much so where the Rambam says, if you're going to have bread, you should make a bracha on Tehillat Yadayim and then wash your hands, which probably none of us, myself included, do. But we hold for that one thing, the opposite case. Yeah.
I was going to say, wouldn't that be an issue if your hands are dirty or unclean?
So it's certainly a good point. Like, it's part of the reason why we wash our hands. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, a number of post-command, we disagree. We don't follow the Rambam on that one. But just to show you that how much the Rambam isn't saying brachot over last yatan before you perform the mitzvah. But over here, obviously, there's very pashut that you say the bracha, then you do the counting. Continuing the second line on the source 4, mana velo berach. What happens if, let's say, tonight after Mariv, you start counting? Let's say right now I accidentally say the night and I count and I didn't say a bracha. So what's halacha? Mana velo berach yata. You fulfill your obligation to count. Ve'eino chozer umivarech. And then I do not go back tonight. So this is within the same night. So if I counted and I say what tonight is, and I forgot to say a bracha, so I don't say, oh no, I forgot to say a bracha. Let me now say a bracha and count again. No. Once I counted, even though I didn't say a bracha, I'm yotzei. Just like when it comes to the mitzvah of netilat lulav, of shaking a lulav and etrog. So we, like, one of the classic things is you should have the etrog face down when you pick it up, right? Then you say the bracha, then you turn it over. The reason is because if you pick it up properly with the etrog, with the pitum faced up, faced to the top, then you actually fulfill your mitzvah. And once you've fulfilled your mitzvah, you can't go back and say the bracha. So if you look at the next verse, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im shachach levarich be'echad me'ayamim." If you forgot to count on one of the days, bein yom rishon bein mishar yamim sofer bishar yamim below bracha. You count the rest of the days without a bracha. Now this is not the case that I was telling about that happened to me last night, because the din is that if you forget a night, then you could still save yourself during the day. So this morning, I counted the ninth day of the Omer. And now tonight, I'm able to continue with a bracha. Once you forget a full 24-hour period, which is what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about here, then you can no longer continue to say it with a bracha. It says, "Im shachal var ve'acham ayam ben yom rishon ben mishar yamim, sofer bishar yamim below bracha, aval im hu mesupak, im dile yom achad, velosi per, yis par bisham yam bebracha." But if you are unsure of whether you counted with a bracha, whether you said a bracha or not, whether you counted or not, so the halacha is you could actually continue to count with a bracha.
Is the reasoning for this
something
bracha?
So good question. So yes, when it comes to brachot in general, when it comes to mitzvah in general, so we have a concept suffig, or really brachos. We have, I thought I was saying suffig derabban, but suffig brachos lahakel. That we're more lenient when it comes to. We always go on err on the side of caution. I think when it comes to suffig brachos lahakel, I think what we would hold actually is that you shouldn't, because if you're not sure if you said it, then you want to be more cautious and not do it. Because by saying, like, I need to go back and say it, that's actually is more strict. The reason for this is going to be tied to the next point, which is something very interesting, which is that we have always grown up, and with this halacha, when it comes to, like, halacha is fair soma, that people know, it's like, if I miss a day, I can't count with the bracha. That's probably halacha one that people learn. And that is very much a minority view. But most of the opinions actually hold that if you miss a day, if you miss 2 days, 5 days, 10 days, go for it. You still count with the bracha. And I think it's because of that even though we do hold, like, the minority opinion that once you miss a day, you can't count with the bracha, there are so many valid opinions that hold you still can. So here, we have a suffix, whether you did say a bracha or did not say a bracha. And because of the fact that so many opinions say that even if you know you didn't count with a bracha, you could still count with a bracha. So the fact that it's a suffix, go for it. It's okay. That's why here we're erring on that side by saying you continue with a bracha. Something that's important to know is that, unfortunately, there's so many times, and I'm sure there are people, I'm not accusing you of this, but I would be in the same boat, where we fall into this trap of saying, like, if there's no bracha involved, like I'm out, I'm not going to count. There's no point of counting. But the mitzvah is the counting. It happens to be like the bracha comes along with it. It's like a nice bonus in a certain sense. But the mitzvah is to count. So if someone is out, and let's say you're at Marv, or you're davening, whatever, wherever you're going to be davening, so then you still have a mitzvah that you get if you count that day, even without the bracha. We see and we learn the importance of saying a bracha, because a bracha is mechazek us, to do something properly. That's why when it comes to, for all of us who are now in Gullus, so we just had a second day of Pesach, and when it comes to the second day of Pesach, we still say all the bracha, we say Shehecheyanu, we say so many things that we know, based on the calendar, it is not Pesach. So it would be one thing for the Chazal to say, okay, we know it's not Pesach, but we have this takana that we still want to put in play. So go for it. Have your matzah, have your seder, but don't make these brachas that are totally unnecessary. But they instituted the concept of brachos so that it's not mizalzel, so that we don't treat it in a degrading fashion. Because they knew that if we were to not say the brachos, then we wouldn't treat it properly. And that's exactly what happens with Sfiras Omer, where people, when they're out, they can't say a bracha, so then they don't continue to count. So it's important for anyone who is out and unable to say a bracha that you still count. And we're going to see now, actually, in Eitzah from the Mishnah Berurah in a short second, about what to do if you can't say a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah says in source 6, on the words of Sofer Bishar Yamin, they should count the remaining days. Kidas Harbe Poskim, he says, as I was saying to you, it's the view of many Poskim, the Ein Sfiras HaYamin Me'akvin Ze Etze, that the days of Sfiras HaOmer, they're not Me'akev, meaning one, if you mess up in one day, it doesn't take you out of the next days. The next day, the chol yoma v'yoma mitzvah b'tnei atzmohi. Every single day is a mitzvah unto itself. And when he says below bracha, meaning when you count, says the Ketuvos of Mishnah Berurah, when it says that you count the next future days without a bracha. So la'chush l'man di'amar the sfira sheva shabbatos tmos be'inan, because according to the opinion that says that the counting has to be complete tmimus v'halika. And you can't say that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of making sure to count for all the days to be complete, because clearly something's missing. I missed a day. I missed 2 days, 10 days. V'nachom bazeh, so here's what you should do. Here's the etzah for anyone who's out. Sheyishma habracha min hashliach tzibur. O me'achat me'em mevarchin. V'yane amin bekavana latzeis v'achar kach yispor. If you're in shul, you can listen to the chazan. If you're not in shul and you have a friend, a neighbor, someone who's there, who's still in and able to say bracha, listen to them. They will have you in mind. The Shel Tibur in general, that's what the Shel Tibur represents, that they have in mind for the half of the Tibur. You say amen to the bracha as the Shel Tibur counts, and then you do your own personal counting right after. And then you're yotze the bracha through the person, through Shomei Ka'ona, and then you do the private counts. And in the tour in the Shulchan Aruch, to explain the view in terms of the fact that once we don't count one full day, we no longer could say a bracha. So that is the opinion of the Bahag, of the Baal Halachos Kedolos. And in Source 7, the Torah says, Kasav Od Bahag, She'im Shachach Levarach Be'echad Min Hayamim. The Bahag says, if you forget to count one of the days, Shalo Yivarech Od Be'yamim Shalachrav. So the famous opinion. So then you go forward and you do not count say with the bracha on the remaining days. For Rav Sadia Gon Kasav, he writes, She'im shachach be'echad mene yamim, yivarech b'yamim shal acharav. Chutz min lala rishon, she'im shachach lo berach bo, shalo yivarech od. Rav Sadia Gon says, no. Even if you miss a full day, you could still go ahead and count with the bracha. The only day that you have to make sure is to count with the bracha is the first day. If you miss the first day, then you can't start on day two with the bracha. As long as you said the first day of the bracha, go for it for future days. V'Rav Hai Kasav, or Rav Hai Gon, right? Bein b'layla rishon, bein b'shar leilos, im shachach v'lo berach, bo yivarach b'shar leilos, v'chein kasav hari. Rav Hai Gon says, no. He goes even a step past that. No, even on the first day, if you forgot to count the first day, right? So then it's clearly not tamim. Meaning that's part of Rasada's point. It's like, it clearly can't be full because you didn't even count day one. So Irav Hayagon says it doesn't even matter. You can still continue to count. The reason is because they say that it's about a mitzvah b'fnei atmo, that each day is a mitzvah unto itself. It is disjointed. It's true. We have the general notion of tmimus, of a completion, but each day is also its own unique mitzvah to be able to count. And so we saw the general, the idea related to counting, some of the halachas related to counting Sfiras HaOmer. And we see just like the importance of Hashem instituting the Torah for us to be able to count, and to count day one, and to then count day two, and to go all the way up till counting the last day, the 49th day. Rav Soloveitchik said, and you could go to the second line on source 8, he said, counting, this is in Festival of Freedom, counting is symbolic of our halachic thinking, and that both demand precision and continuity. The mathematical series is a continuous one. There's a systematic transition from one to another. One cannot leap from position to position. Our halachic thinking behaves in a similar manner. It is orderly, precise cognition. There's no arbitrariness and no haphazard conclusions. Logical necessity reigns supreme. An erroneous count or omission of one position suspends the whole count. One cannot jump from 3 to 5. One must move through position 4. In a word, halachic thinking is like mathematical thinking. The detail is extremely important. Meaning every step matters. You can't, just like in math, you can't go from step A to step C. You can't go from 3 to 5. And when it comes to halachic thinking, so it also, every step of the halachic process and the halachic methodology of determining what halacha is also important. And I will say, and I'm sure he would say this too, when it comes to midos, when it comes to working on our character traits, when it comes to our avodas Hashem, it is also very, very much about consistency. That consistency, being able to go 1, 2, 3, is very, very important. There is so much actually psychology behind the concept of a streak. And that so many people, once a person gets into a streak, so many people have a much easier time being able to keep whatever that thing is. So whether the streak is, some people might have a tefillin streak, a davening streak, keeping Shabbos streak, whatever it may be, once you get into a groove, once you get into a rhythm, it is so much easier for a person to keep that. There's a sefer on a commentary on the agadic components of the Gemara called the Ein Yaakov. And in the Hakdama to the Sefer Ein Yaakov, he quotes a Braisa. The Braisa is a discussion from Tanaim about basically, it's explained, we'll see the words of how the words are actually said, but it's explained kind of like, what is the most important pasuk in the Torah? The way I would kind of translate is like, what's the most fundamental pasuk in the Torah? And so if we were to go around here, we probably have a lot of pesukim that we all probably know by heart. Stuff that is important, stuff that either from the Aseres Dibros, made from Shema, other important klolim that they're kind of like the tip on everyone's tongue. So in verse 9 he says, Ben Zoma says, Matzinu pasuk kolel yoter. I find that this pasuk, so the phrasing of the like fundamental most important is the pasuk kolel yoter. So like kolel means like inclusive, but it's like pasuk kolel yoter. Like this is the most fundamental, this is something that's the most important. V'hu shma yisrael. So Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what Ben Zoma says. That is the most fundamental. That's the most important pasuk in the Torah. Right? I wouldn't necessarily argue with that. Right? It's a pretty good one. Pretty good first draft pick. Ben Nanas Omer. Nanas says, Matzinu pasuk kol el yoter v'hu v'ahav talerecha kamocha. Ooh. So Ben Nanas says, how about v'ahav talerecha kamocha? Also, right? Rabbi Kiva, Zekla, Galdova, Torah, right? So many things that are, that's also. Comes along Shimon ben Pazi. Shimon Pazi, Omer, Matinu, Pasuk, Kol, Yoser, V'hu. And he says, a Pasuk that probably most of you don't even know of, which is, as Hakeves Achad Tasev Aboker, v'gomer. Right? So it's kares l'chad seh boker, it's kares l'sheni taseh bin arabayim. So that means I offer like one sheep in the morning, right? One sheep in the afternoon. Right? Okay, so I have those three. So what's going to be the halacha? What's the most important pasuk? Continues. Amar Rav Ploni al Ragla v'amar halacha kibem pazi. The halacha, I don't know why you need a halacha from something like this, but either way, the halacha, I voted that ben pazis is the most fundamental. Now, why is that so important? I got there in a second. Let me just explain for a second. What that pasuk is, that is the pasuk that is about the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid that we bring, that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash every single morning and every single afternoon. On Shavas HaBetamos, at the fast day that we have leading up to Tisha B'Av, there are a number of reasons why we fast. The most famous one, which is the linkage to Tisha B'Av, is that they broke through the walls, right? So they break through the walls, right? Then we know 3 weeks later, Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But one of the reasons is that the Korban Tamid stopped being offered. It's probably tied, the fact that they broke through the walls, the enemies were coming, they couldn't offer the Korban that day. But that was one of the reasons for mourning. For over 400 years, every day, with no exception, you weren't even off for Shabbos. Every single day, they offered Korban Tamid Shel Shachar and the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And what that shows us, the fact that that was up against Shema Yisrael and V'yahatol Recha Kamocha for the most fundamental pasuk in the Torah, is that look at the importance of consistency. You have up against that chesed, the epitome of chesed, caring about another person, the epitome of ol malchus shamayim, of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we also have the notion of being a religiously committed Jew day in, day out. It doesn't matter if you're feeling it. It doesn't matter if you just got fired from your job, if you just failed the final. It doesn't matter if you had the best day of your life. You are doing this every day.
This might be a little bit of a side point, but I've heard a lot of times that people are like, "Oh, we don't learn halacha from Agadata," mm-hmm. And because this is in Yaakov, it's very clearly Agadata.
Yeah.
But it's still, I think it's interesting how it still talks about how like we do learn important things from Agadata that do have practical applications on our lives.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It is certainly interesting the fact that he says like halacha. He says, this is the halacha, as if, like, what's the nafkamina? Meaning, you can't have a halacha without, a nafkamina. But either way, it is certainly interesting. And obviously, it shows just the importance that here you have three things. Wow, they're all up, they're all important. Had it just stopped right there, it'd say, wow, what's this doing up there? We could still say the same shir. But the fact that it ends with saying, that is the most important, really, really drives it home. When it comes to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zera Talk Levracha, who passed away, his shloshim was, I believe, Erev Pesach. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, maybe you knew him before that, maybe you learned about him a little bit then. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky, one of the component that made him a gadol is this whole idea, this notion of consistency is what made him a gadol b'Torah. Rav Chaim, every single day, had a meticulous schedule, and it wasn't just, it was a component of how meticulous the schedule was, and how much of a masman he was, the fact that he was so focused and diligent in what he was learning. And he woke up, literally, at 3 a.m., and his daily schedule started at 3. I do not recommend you trying this tomorrow morning, or tonight, as some of you are going to still be awake at 3 a.m. probably. But Rav Chaim learned eight blot of Bavli, eight blot of Yerushalmi, two prakim of Tanakh, three prakim of Rambam, and five pages of Shulchan Aruch. It says that he began learning the Gemara, and this is each day in order to make a siyam on Kol HaTorah Kula, on all of Torah every year. He began learning the Gemara Shas from age 16 to 20. I'm not sure if that means he started, maybe built it up to 8 blood a day. But either way, that's when he started taking it on. And he added Rama and Shulchan Aruch at age 20. Zohar and Midrashim were added later. And for him, just every day having this, he refers to it as his chovos. Now, the word chovo in Hebrew can mean a debt. And after one of his sons was married, so he didn't attend one of the Shavuot Brachos. And the mechutin, asked where he was, and he said he has to deal with his chovot. So he figured like he's in debt. Like let me help him out. So he said no. It's not a monetary like chova. This is my daily learning schedule. Because of the wedding, he had to maybe. Couldn't do 8 blot, maybe did 6 blot, and he has to now make up 10 blot the next day, whatever it may be, but he had to miss the Shavuot Brachos to get back on track for what he was doing. And just that detail, day in and day out, to be devoted to Hashem for whatever happens is really tremendous. Just think of, like, to bring it down to our level, think about someone, if anyone here does Daf Yomi or anything Yomi. If you take on anything, Yomi, then you know that there are times where you're on vacation. And you're on vacation with your family or friends, or there are times where you have a huge midterm or a final, and you're studying like crazy, and you're like, wait, but I have to do this. I need 20 minutes, I need half hour, I need an hour, I need this time, no matter what is going on. And it makes a person be much more dedicated to something. Not on the typical day, things are fine, but there are many days that come up where it really shows your dedication to Hashem, and that's the importance of these types of things related to consistency. Now, one of the things that frustrates someone, I get this as a teacher at times, is when someone is hypocritical. I get this, meaning there are times where students think I'm hypocritical. I think they're hypocritical sometimes, that's also true. But there are times where they might say, a student might say to me, like, how come you let him go to the bathroom? Like, how come you tell me I can't go, you let him go? Or how come this person is getting extra credit? I want extra credit. One of the things that I try to do is, let's say when it comes to, let's say a person got a 60 on a test, they want extra credit, so I offer it to the whole class. Doesn't matter if someone gets a 98 or someone gets a 60, everyone has the opportunity, if I choose to do the extra credit, to make things fair. But either way, a person shouldn't be hypocritical. Obviously, that's not exactly hypocrisy per se, but certainly to preach one thing and then to go and do the other, that is certainly the definition of being a hypocrite. When it comes to the Yosef story, probably one of the most fascinating stories in the Torah. It's also the longest story, certainly in Sefer Bereishis, where it's just one long, continuous story that goes for multiple parshas. And at the climax of the story, where Yosef kind of like worked everything and was pulling the strings in order to make it look as if Binyamin stole the cup and now Binyamin's going to be imprisoned, and Yehuda came to speak to Yosef to try one last push to get him to release Binyamin, said to take me in your place. So Yosef finally decides, let me tell him who I am. And so if you look in verse 10, so, Vayomer Yosef el Echav, Yosef says to his brothers, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Probably one of the most dramatic words in all of Torah. V'lo yachlu Echav lanososo, kinev halum panav. And the brothers couldn't even answer him. They were bewildered before him. They were shocked. Rashi on the Pasuk says it was their busha. They were so embarrassed. They couldn't utter anything. They couldn't say anything to him. But there's also something very strange going on in this pasuk. And this is elaborated on and brought up by the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi in source 11. We're not going to be reading the whole source. But basically, we point out a number of peculiar points to Yosef's question of how, is my father still alive? Says the Beis Halevi, he made a pasuk say, Yishlis bonein bo harbe. There are many things, many wonderments about this pasuk. Many things that are strange. Echad, firstly, Tere kol devrei Yehuda ilav, pevechuchu im Yosef ata, hayarak shechoshesh etaro shel aviv. Right now, what Yehuda is doing is try to get Yosef to feel bad for imprisoning Binyamin. Have rachmanis, my father, he's so old. This is his son he loves the most. We need to bring him back. Because Yehuda even says to him, how could I go back to my father? How could I not bring him back? And literally, in that same conversation, Yosef says, my father's still alive. Yeah, we were just talking about him for like the last 20 minutes. Vigam, continues the Beis Halevi, Dare taketh isbiasam pam sheni, Mitzrayim. When they came to Mitzrayim, at the beginning of their second time coming, which is now this time where Yehuda came and spoke to Yosef, this is now the end of their second trip there. So when they came right away, Shalahem hashalom avichem. Yosef asked them, how are things with your father? They said to him, already in the same trip, our father's alive. He's doing well. So what room is there for him to ask them again in the same time when they haven't even been home since the last time he asked them the question? And another question, this last question. We don't even see the brothers answering him. I could tell you, I didn't bring the next pasuk or the next few pasukim after this, but there is no answer. They do not respond to him and answer his question, is my father still alive? You would think the next pasuk should be, okay, maybe they're embarrassed. And then they say, yeah, our father's still alive. Welcome, Yosef. Now I can say our father because you're included with us as our sibling. So what's going on here? So the Beis Halevi says as follows. Yosef was not an idiot. Yosef did not have anything wrong with his brain in terms of his short-term memory loss. Yosef very much remembered and knew that his father is alive. But what Yosef is pointing out to them is as follows. He's pointing out to Yehuda and he's saying to Yehuda, right now, you care so much about how your father feels, about how our father feels, about how Yaakov Avinu feels. The fact that Binyamin, his only son left, and who he thinks is his only son left from Rachel, that here he is, he's going to be imprisoned. Oh no, he's going to feel so terrible. He might even have a heart attack and die, Chas v'Shalom, if he hears the news that we couldn't bring him back. I can't deal with how Yaakov is going to handle this news. I need it. I need him. Yosef, please take me in his place. I'll go to prison. Just release Binyamin. Yosef saying to his brothers, oh, you care now? You care now because Yaakov loves Binyamin? Do you think Yaakov loved me? Where were you when you decided to sell me off as a slave? Now you care about how your father feels? You don't think he was upset? You don't think he'd want that? And what Yosef did was just point out their hypocrisy. The fact that now you seem to care, but we had a very, very similar moment about 22 years ago where you really didn't care. You did not care how your father would feel. You did not care that this was your father's child who he loved. And now you say, oh, I need Binyamin. We need Binyamin for our father. If you skip to the third to last line, at the end of the line, fifth to last word. V'zehu acharei she'gdil lefanav godal rachmanos shel aviyem k'sheyikach mimenu b'no ohavo. This whole thing of Yehuda approaching him was after he tried to have Yosef have mercy and compassion towards Yaakov. Sider lahem maise atmam v'nivhalu mitochachto. Yosef tells them the story meaning tells them what's going on about themselves. And they couldn't answer. They couldn't answer of this rebuke, this tochacha that he told them. Because this was a challenge from them to themselves. You think you care? You did not care about me. So don't act like you really care about your father's feelings. And that was something that he had to point out. So the importance of being consistent in one's actions throughout a person's life, to always try to live at the highest level of morality. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, one Yom Kippur during the break, the Talmidim saw that he was taking a walk. So let's say there's an hour break between shuls, he went for a walk. And they knew Rav Chaim, of course, Chaim Soloveitchik was like the biggest tzaddik ever, biggest Talmid Chacham, biggest tzaddik. And they saw him just going for a walk in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the day where you have a few more hours to beg to Hashem for forgiveness, to seal your year for you, for Klal Yisrael, for a great year. And they felt like, how's he taking a walk during this time? They're all like right there in shul, like still like choosing to daven or learn extra or say Tehillim. And here he's just going on a stroll. And one of them asked him about it. And they said, like, Rebbe, how are you taking a walk? It's Yom Kippur. Aren't there bigger things to do? And you know what he answered them? Rav Chaim turned to the student. Rav Chaim said, every day I take a walk. Every day there are many, many important things that I do. And taking a walk is part of my schedule to be able to free my mind in terms of being healthy. And it's very important, I believe, that I should take a walk. And because it's important, every day I should take a walk. Yom Kippur is no different. Just like during the year, it's also important. If I felt it was not important, if I felt, wow, Yom Kippur, I should be davening, then every day I should be davening. But the fact that I know and I feel it's important to take a walk for various reasons, I should also do that on Yom Kippur. Showing his consistency through and through each and every day of his life. Now, when it comes to consistency in Avodas Hashem, being consistent day in and day out is also a point for growth. It seems, I'll say, like, it almost seems like a stira. Like, if I'm being consistent, I should be the same. But by being consistent, you are actually growing, right? So if you think back to, like, we were discussing our Chaim Kanievsky, you could imagine if you're learning 8 Blad of Gemara every day, it's not like, oh, wow, I'm the same type of person. No, you are actually increasing your knowledge of volumes by just doing the same type of thing every day. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we're here in Chabad, so I have to quote the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the Kutei Sichos and Parshas Ve'eshev, says something amazing. I heard this from Rabbi Michael Honig a few days ago. And he points out, going back to Yosef for a second, but not that story, but pointing out the difference between the dreams of Yosef and the dreams of Paro. Chalomos Yosef, he says in Source 12, B'seder Ola. Mosif aholich. Yosef's dreams are bigger and bigger. Hachalom arishon osek bin yonim artzim. The first dream of Yosef deals with the physical world, earthly matters. As he says, v'hine anachnem almim almim besoch hasadah. Right, there are sheaves, bundles of wheat in the field. V'ilo hachalom asheni osek bin yonim shamayim. But then the second dream, this is about the shamayim. These are the things, the components in the heavens. As it says, Hashem is v'arech v'acharatzar kol chazan, v'amish tachav en li. That the stars and the moon and the sun, right? So his dreams are starting off at one place, but growing bigger and bigger. But when it came to Paro, Paro's dreams are the opposite. Halomos Paro, li'idah, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The dreams of Paro are the opposite. Heim b'seder yorid, they go down. The first dream dealt with the cows. That when it comes to this world, there's a hierarchy of four groups. There is inanimate objects, let's say like rocks. Then there are components that have life, but not necessarily feeling or physically being alive, like plant life, right? There's no breath to them. They can't breathe. They're not eating, right? But they are alive. Then there are the animal kingdom. Then there's humanity. So he says Paro's dream starts off with the animals. Ashaychel desuga chai. The ilu achalam asheni osik b'shibulim. But then the next dream of Paro goes to wheat. Hashaychel desug hatomea hanachol yoter, which is at a lower level. So the fact that Yosef, he was obviously, this is alpi drush, but it's about growing. It's about having bigger dreams. It's about wanting to achieve more, wanting to get better and better. And if you look at source 13, so Soloveitchik says that it's very important for a person wherever they are to be true to who they are, to be true to themselves. There's a rav in KBY, Rav Mendel Blachman, who I've heard say, I think on more than one occasion I've heard him say this. He says that in a lot of shuls, you don't have it in this shul, but in a lot of shuls, above the aron, it says, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamim. Important, right? Like kind of like know where you are, know where you're standing. Realize you're standing before Hashem. So Rav Blachman says, it's like, at a shul is almost like the last place you should have that pasuk. Like put that pasuk up in the dorm room, put that up in the gym. Realize you're standing before Hashem at other places. And shulke, it's a little more clear that we're standing before Hashem. But the point is, it's hard often to be consistent, to be the same in shul as we are in the gym, in the dorm room, hanging out with friends, right? Sometimes you have people that have like different types of personalities. Like when I'm with this group of friends, I act this way. When I'm with this group of friends, I act this way, right? We know people like that. It might be about ourselves. And so Soloveitchik says in the Machzor Harav, in source 13, he says, an individual must be the same person on the street, at home, in the office, in his bedroom, and in shul, as he is when he stands wrapped in his talis during the ilah. This idea is the underlying theme of the maxim, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. That wherever you are, you should be true to yourself. You should live at the highest level of a person that you could be. Now, how does this get into us, though? We count Sfiras HaOmer, we count day in and day out. We work on these midos, we work day in and day out. How's it stick? Is there any idea that shares with us, like, when we know that it's become a part of us? So there's an idea in halacha related to Mashiv HaRuch, which we just stopped saying, about what happens when we're not sure if we said it. What's the law if you think you did, not sure you did? So the Gemara Yerushalmi in Source 14 in Seches Tanis says as follows. Going on the Mishnah, when do you start saying Mashiv HaRuch? Rabbi Elazar Omer Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, on the first of Sukkos. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Miyom Tov HaAchron. He says, no, the last day of Sukkos. Tani Nitpal De'in Yodea Mahizkir. If you davened Shemona Esrei, and you're not sure what you said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Lamed Yom, here's the halacha, all the first 30 days, Chazaka, Mashehu Limud Hezkir, Mikan Ve'elach, Mashetorach Yazkir. That the first 30 days, when you're saying here, it's discussing saying Mashiv HaRuch, I'll just put it in our terms. Right now, we are not saying Mashiv HaRuch. We are a few days into not saying Mashiv HaRuch. So, for the first 30 days, when you're not saying it, if you daven the second bracha, or you finish, you have no idea if you say it or not, you could assume you did not say it. Once you hit 30 days of saying it, then you could assume you said it. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Source 15, this is how it's brought down. V'yemos hachama, in nistapik im hizkir morid hageshem. If you're not sure in low, if you're not sure you said morid hageshem or not, ad lamed yom becheskat shehizkir hageshem v'tzarach laskor. You could assume that you said the wrong thing and you have to go back. And the Ramah just basically says it applies both to saying Mashiv HaRuch and saying, not saying, taking out Mashiv HaRuch. And this idea of 30 days is that after 30 days, Chazal determined, literally determined in halacha, that it becomes a part of you. that having, kind of like we were discussing earlier, having streaks, having that streak makes it so that it is who you are. And when a person is committed to something for a certain amount of time, it becomes a part of them no matter what is going on. I want to end with a story. It's going to be Yom HaShoah in a few days. There's a person named Yossi Wallace. Yossi Wallace grew up totally irreligious. He was born in the Bronx. Family moved to Israel. And in 1979, he was online to buy non-kosher meat at a store. And he's online, and all of a sudden, a story came flooding to his mind that he hadn't thought of in a long time. The story is he was told about his grandfather. His grandfather was in the Holocaust, and his grandfather, no matter what happened, refused to eat non-kosher food. It was literally the last day of the concentration camp. Everyone knew they were going to be liberated. The writing was very much on the wall. And the Nazis were going to be leaving shortly. They were going to flee. But before they were going to flee, they call out all the Jews to the courtyard. The Nazi takes a piece of pork and he puts it in front of Yossi's grandfather. He takes out a gun and he says, "Eat this pork right now or I'm going to kill you." His grandfather, throughout the years of the Holocaust, did not budge. No matter what was going on, he did not eat not kosher. And he thought to himself, we're not discussing halacha here, but he thought to himself, "I cannot mess this up now." And he says to the Nazi, "I'm not going to eat this." And the Nazi killed him on the spot. Yossi Wallace is in a land of freedom, in Eretz Yisrael, about to choose to buy not kosher meat. And this story comes to his mind. He runs out of the store. He goes home to his wife and he says, "I need to look into my Judaism. I need to do some more soul searching." And he goes to a conference at a group called Erechim. And by the end of that conference, by the end of that weekend, he makes a neder to himself basically and says, "I'm going to be a firm Jew." He ends up, he's a very wealthy person, he ends up funding the organization. And to this day, he's the CEO and a firm Jew of that organization that was makariv him. All because of the story of his grandfather's consistency, not to budge no matter what was going on, to be the same person through and through, no matter what's going on in life. And so as we are going in the days of Sfira, counting one, two, like our Soloveitchik said, it's not about skipping. It's about each level at a time. Slowly but surely, you'll be able to accomplish a lot. By the time we should all be consistent, we should all grow and get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.